Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the press conference of the film Adieu Smith, So Help Me God, which is in the official section of the 65th edition of the San Sebastian Film Festival. And to talk about the film, we've got with us part of the crew that we've got, Bertrand Fez, the producer. We've got Ang Libet, the protagonist, Jean Libon, and Yves Inant, that are the directors. As you're here, we've got a few questions in the front. Hi. Hi. I would like to ask you, what part of what we saw, the stories that appear in the film, are true, and what you've completely invented? Nothing is true. We've invented everything. There are only actors and actors and actors, and then we had to hit them and beat them for them to act. And that's the answer. There's nothing more to add. The only person that's not an actress is Anna. But apart from this, she had a text to read. But according to you, what's fiction and what is not fiction in this story? I ask you this question. What part is fiction and what part's reality? I can't hear her now. She doesn't have a microphone. Excuse me. I'm not too sure whether some of the stories that appear in those sort of sketches that appear are based upon something that has truly happened or not, because they look like things that may have happened in reality, but I see that such is not the case. No, they're not stories based upon real fact. They are real fact. They are real events. Everything is real. If we see all of the rushes and all of the sequences in the film, we shot about 200 or 300 hours of footage. There you can see all of the questioning of the woman who kills her babies. And all of that has been shot live, or recorded live in this case. It's not that it's based upon true events, it's that they are true events. In the work that we've done, the wealth is to show things as they are and never recreate them nor transform them. Everything is in its gross footage. We've had to do some editing, of course, but I've been working for 40 years like this. I've had a great career on TV as a reporter, and after 10 years, after doing this type of work, I felt deeply unsatisfied because I could never apply the camera and sound live. So that what we did before was basically fiction, more or less fiction, or radio, or but we never did this on TV. So therefore, with Marco Gamenci and myself, we decided to change things, to throw everything into the garbage, even films, and just to keep live image and sound without any music, without any interviews, without any remarks, and nothing at all. And now for over 30 years, what I do is this type of work with a series of people like Eve, where we capture everything that happened only once or twice. So therefore, all of the interviews have taken place one single time. Our job consists in being there at the specific moment in time and then to work correctly with the image and sound. With the camera, for example, the moment when action takes place, the person that manages the cameraman has to take the frame and to keep recording. I'm very strange that you ask that question, that whether it's fiction or reality, but people continue to ask me that after 30 years. So don't commit suicide because you asked that question. Of course not. But what are you saying? No, your question was a very good question, sir, because it allowed me to give you a very good answer, and that's it. Everything's quite clear. Well, that's the big, great discussion with directors, whether fiction is more powerful than reality, but it's the surprise is much bigger in reality because you're astonished that absurd things are shown And it's quite, I'm sure if we'd have written it in a script, it would be different. It wouldn't be sufficient. I have seen many things that we've recorded. If we'd have written them in fiction, that would have been incredible. It's as if you'd have smoked, I don't know, the carpet. But it's truth which exceeds by far and surpasses fiction. I always told fiction expresses things that reality can't be expressed in reality. I think it's vice versa. I think that reality, we can't express in fiction what exists in reality. I'm completely convinced of this. I'm not too sure whether I've answered your question. Hi, good afternoon. I think that we're all asking the same question that she was asking, but perhaps I was afraid that the answer was that it was all true, because it all seemed and so unreal, but it responds to many cliches and stereotypes as well that we don't want to accept at times. So therefore, my question, even the character of the judge is extraordinary. It seems it was written by in the script, but after we see whether that's a reality is, how can you confront the fact of the nature of people? Is there any hope at the end of the tunnel or after? Because it leaves us all almost, it's disheartening. And how are you able to coexist with all of that, those characters and those real stories? Anna will answer later, but we're above reality in this case. We made a film, a kind of film. We've done something conventional. Reality is even worse. It's not much of a shock what we're showing. Reality is even worse than this. We have done a very pleasant, a kind sort of film. And I, as a director, and Jean, also, and Anne, as a judge, we know that reality. These are things that don't surprise me. I don't feel astonished by what I see in the film or dumbstruck. But we, at certain times, when we were proposed to do this for a film, why did we choose this subject matter? Well, what this content matter was, we have to address these types of issues. I'm seduced by the reaction of a film theater in front of a screen or TV screen. But what you see are not things that surprise us. And Anne, as a judge, she's surprised by reality. I don't know. The truth is that perhaps I may sound presumptuous, and I excuse myself for this. I beg forgiveness. You've got to get to know this reality. This reality exists. I see it in my day to day. And it's just, I would just simply like to say that vis-a-vis this reality, what I address is that we can't do the same thing we do in a song, for example, or to always want to have breakfast or eat in peace. No, you can't. I think that's the message that we want to convey here, and that is that, yes, and I like your reaction very much, because it teaches me a lot. I learn a lot of things, and I learn that my reality is not the same as other people's reality, but it's true. Perhaps I didn't realize the difference and the distance that may exist between you and me. I'm not too sure whether you understand me, but what you've said interests me very much, because undoubtedly I learn to open up my eyes, and it teaches me to open my eyes to the fact that not everybody seems to know exactly, is up to date on what's happening. I thought that everybody knew what was happening every day. But I also understand it, and that's why I'm very interested in what you had to say, because it's true, we all live in our realities and our day-to-day in our own world, and we live our day-to-day life, and perhaps we don't have sufficient contact with people who live in a life different to ours. And perhaps that's the case for me, that I don't have that contact, because people who come to my office, and the people that come into my office are the people that I know. For example, the woman who killed the baby, I saw her 15 days ago again. She had to go to court, and I'm going to call her on Tuesday. to give us some news because she's interested in knowing how the expression of what could be considered her madness, she's interested in knowing it to the extent that today she's taking a necessary medication in order to achieve a balance. She needs some backing, she needs help, because otherwise it maybe her reality may come against her. And I think that testimony that shows that madness that she lived at a given moment is something which is indispensable for her, but perhaps also for her son, because she has another son. And so that everyone can understand very well that moment, apart outside of the time aspect of where Ibrahim dies. If you don't understand what I'm saying, please tell me, because I'm trying to reflect at the same time. When I'm talking to try to construct this reflection, I'm thinking on the go. So therefore, it seems to me this should be always this way, so that when we awake after doing something, committing something, you say, well, that wasn't me. And then to look back and to see it wasn't that person who committed that crime or whatever. Said in other words, this woman who killed her child, and the first people with whom this woman has been able to talk to, because neither her family nor her husband, we don't even know where the husband is, and the psychologist or psychiatrist had also abandoned her, really. The police have not enough training to know how to listen to her, so therefore the first person with whom this woman has been able to talk to and express her feelings and to tell her disgrace is to Anna. So therefore, I think it's formidable to see how she, at the end, how she listens, and how, and I think it's formidable how she talks to her and how she listens to her. That effort of humanity, and we're not used to seeing things like that. And we have to, we as filmmakers and doing making documentaries, we've got to talk about these things. I would like all of the people tonight don't go to bed and don't fall asleep tonight because of the reaction to the film. No, I'm not being serious. That's not what I really mean. But if you don't sleep tonight, well, I'm exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. Well, of course I'm exaggerating. Microphone, please. This is based upon a TV series. For example, I don't know. But let's go back how the film came about. Because I'm under the feeling that she's done things that I don't know anything about. The TV series that I don't know, that I've never seen. Jean and Marco and other journalists. Jean wasn't there at the beginning, but they went to Latin America, to all of the different continents, and they went through wars and conflicts. And at a given moment, they addressed the following. They said, we go to Lebanon, or we go to the same areas every year. And we thought, doing the same thing all of the time, and I'm trying to cut it short here, but it seems they were done outside the borders. They were interested in other human catastrophes outside our own borders instead of our own country. And so therefore, Jean and other people decided to focus and make documentaries, but within Belgium, in our country. And as I said before, we threw it into the garbage, everything that we'd done on TV. And so therefore, we did a series of... In 1985, back then what we created, a program called Striptease, a program that was shown on Wednesday nights in prime time at 9 p.m., and which was very successful. It's not that we are very intelligent, but there's a lack of this type of information in society. It was the right moment, I think, the ideal moment to fill this void, and social media didn't exist in 1985, and people wrote to us and continued to write to us. I always tell the same things. One of the first reactions was a sheet with a drawing, a beautiful calligraphy, which said, someone said, what you're doing is great. We see it in the family, three different generations, the grandparents, parents, and children. We watch your program. When the program's finished, we all discuss, because we never agree on what we see. There's always problems. There's always a heated discussion in our family. So therefore, sometimes the series, obviously, we had to reduce it to a short program, and it lasted four times 15 minutes. So therefore, we were dealing with different issues in the program. So the people said, okay, well, I like the first one. Well, I said, well, I like this fourth one better than the first one. People discussed this at home, but we discussed it amongst ourselves. We were always almost fighting. But I think that's formidable. And I think that program started in 1985, commenced in 1985, and then France Trois came to us in 1992 to do the same thing in France. And, well, not in France, in prime time, it was Saturday nights at 12 p.m. or 12 a.m. or 11 p.m. Because we had to do that. That's the way we had to do things in France. But in 2001, in Belgium, in RTBF, there was a series of changes took place. They changed the time and the program. We started to work with other directors. And at that time, it was transformed. Well, we stopped doing the program, I think if it was in 2012, on France 3 in France, because I think that those types of programs couldn't be done on TV, what we used back then. And what do they do, people, is they see the films, because people look, that sort of focus or work or attitude could be very interesting for everyone. So therefore, and I hope, well, I think that there are issues which are universal. And I believe that there can be more than 850 films and series with the same tone and the same spirit in mind. But I think that what we did, were inspired by other directors. They were inspired by our work. Bertrand asked us to make a film. The producer Bertrand asked us to make it for a film. The difficulty in a film is that they are not issues that are, they're not stories per se that are written. And the people who finance films would like to know what's going to be seen on the screen later. And so, therefore, in this case, the truth is that we promised them that they were going to discover something, but the first thing we would have to do is to finance it. And everything worked out quite well at the end of the day. And the problem was, as there's nothing written down on paper, it was necessary to shoot some images and to show them, and then try to manage that the images didn't circulate and people can see it, because we needed authorization. The people that appear before the lawyers and so on and so forth that appear in front of the camera had to approve the fact and give clearance so that those images could be shown. The difficulty was to finance a film with nothing written on paper and with images that at the same of this type. But it was fun, and we were managed to do it relatively quickly, albeit the shooting of the film lasted for 3 years. You've said that the actors, there weren't any professional actors. They're not professional actors. No, they're not actors. She's not an actor. She's a judge. She's a judge. Yes, that's right. And that's her real job. Yes. As she appears in the film. Yes, that's right. Is that right? Yes. Exactly the same. Yes. Well, we would have to ask my clients, but I think that normally that's the way I am, yes. I've known her for 12 years, and the truth is she hasn't changed at all. My clients all come back, by the way. The character seems almost like a fiction character, I don't know. Well, thank you very much, because if I'm a fiction character, well, therefore, I will survive my own death. I think that you already collaborated with Anne, Jeanne Le Flic Le Jeu Jeu. You remember? Yes. Yes, it was. And to go back to that film, where the fiction is more powerful than reality, well, we made a documentary, and she wasn't the main character, but she did appear, and she worked with police officers, and there was a horrible crime that took place in Brussels. And she thought, well, there was a real story there, and there was a French fry that gave the police clue, and we made a series, and the Miss Judge, Miss Rurier, was the judge of that story, and therefore we did that story. We find the murderer at the end. It was very difficult to find the murderer, to discover who was the murderer, and then we decided to continue and to ask her to be the main character, and we left the best for the end, really. Over here and over here, questions, yes? Hi again. My question's for Anne. I'd like to know, what's it going to be a full-time judge now to dedicate yourself to something, to be an actress or to cinema or to film? You've got a script, but it's part of your story, your background. It's not that I've gone from one job to another. The truth is that I love to listen, that I could be a fiction character and that I could be an actress or that I could have portrayed or done comedy. No, but that's me. That's the way I am. That's what I want you to understand. I am exactly like that every day. The camera was there on the one hand, it recorded, I didn't even see the camera. I ignored them. Why? Well, because constantly, well, not constantly, but my job is not being an actress. No, I'm a judge. I'm a judge, period. And so therefore, that's a job that I will defend all the way to the end, albeit in Belgium, we talk about suppressing this judge figure and to turn it into something else. The only thing I would like to say is that the work a judge carries out at this level, someone who's interested in people and those people who try to find out the truth, to work with the suspects, victims, this is what a judge of this type does. This is my job. The camera does its job on the other hand. These two gentlemen do the job on the other side. But that's the way I am. I do my job and they do their job. Everyone does their job. And the only thing, we just hope it all happens within the same. The only thing is that it happens in the same room. There's no tricks. There's no stage. There's no set. There's no artifice. There's nothing. There aren't any dialogues. Perhaps we've got an idea of what's going to happen, but we have no preconceived idea. And it's quite curious because this takes us back to the question that you asked the man behind you, that part of reality, that part of fiction. And it seems that everyone seems to think that it's not possible, let us say, that life can be the way it's portrayed on the screen. So that doubt, or what you're asking me, surprises me and fascinates me, because for me, it's evident that's very clear that that's reality and that that's life and things are as they are shown without anything else. And I don't understand. The truth is, it's like as if I was in Alice in Wonderland, where everything's fiction and where it said, no, your day-to-day life is fiction. No, my day-to-day life is not fiction. It's what we see on the screen in the film. And it's a series of scenes. Or why do you think that at the beginning of the world we had the Ten Commandments? Why did they come up? Well, because we say, no, you shouldn't do evil, and so on and so forth, and all of that list of things that you shouldn't do. All of that exists since the beginning of time, really, but it does. But it doesn't happen in our day-to-day life. I would like to know who in this room doesn't know through someone who has had a violent death. Does nobody know anyone who has had a violent death? What surprises me is the reality of delinquents and criminals and murderers and so on and so forth. the behavior of the judge in the court. So therefore, that sounds incredible. It seems incredible. But I imagine there are not too many people like you in Belgium. And that's the reason that the film is made, perhaps, or not, of recording you and shooting you on with a and shooting you with a camera. All Belgians. Well, how do you imagine a judge, a woman judge, is like? Well, I know some judges, and I can't imagine. But what surprises me is your attitude. I'm not saying it in a negative, and I'm not judging you, by the way. But no, not at all. That's not my intention at all. But what surprised me is I know that that reality exists, and even worse, in courts and in courts of instruction. And but what surprises me is the judge, is the way you deal with, and how close, in some cases, interest, curiosity of knowing the life of these people. This is what surprises me is the judge, the woman judge. Well, that is why if you had made the film, I'm sure you would have chosen the same judge. No, that's not true, the judge says. What is true is that in Belgium, the judge of first instruction that has evolved very much in other countries involves that you did what I did before, to try to look for the truth without any personal interest. If on the one hand we have the procurator, for example, who's looking elements to blame, then we've got the lawyer who's trying to find out the contrary, well, we come to a confrontation, an interested confrontation by both parties. But in Belgium, we have the good luck of having this figure of the judge of first instruction who has no interest at all. It's not the judge who will condemn or sentence the person. Another judge will give the verdict. He just simply prepares all of the documentation and to shed some light on what happened, who could be the possible author of the crime. Yes, we have the judge of instruction in Spain. I think it's the same role or a similar role here in Spain. Well, I think I would like to say a couple of things. And in the line of what you're talking about, let's say in general, we've had special authorization because sometimes you don't allow cameras to come into those rooms, so therefore there's a reality that exists that we're not used to seeing. We are not used to seeing, and we are authorized to see it in this case. And on the other hand, when we got closer to this life and this reality, we entered into the fiction codes with music and with remarks and so on and so forth that take away part of the reality that makes it unreal. And we wanted to show it as it is, that is, after being in, well, a reality which is fictionalized through TV, reality becomes unreal sometimes. So therefore, what I believe to be very important in striptease, one of the reasons that I wanted to make a feature film and to propose it and do it in film, is that the truth is it's not being fictionalized. It's so very little made fictionalized that it seems real, but it's much more real than any other thing that can be sold as being sold to us as being real. Any further questions? Any further questions? Perhaps to finish, I think that we're all asking ourselves, perhaps, is that we see that Anne, she wanted to prepare to participate in the film, but all of the people that appear with her, how did they participate? There was no inconvenience for them being recorded by with a camera when they were in these difficult situations in that room with Anne. We have worked with authorization. Everyone who appears in the film and was shot with the camera accepted this officially. So therefore, in the judge's office, these people appeared with their lawyers, and that is to say, quite often, and first of all, there was a conversation, a prior contact with them amongst us, with the lawyers, and they had to give their authorization. If such, we didn't have that authorization, we couldn't record anything. Authorization from the lawyer and authorization at once they left the office. So therefore, everyone had to give their okay. And this also agreement. Some people just simply asked them to pixelize their face so they could be recognized, and some people couldn't be seen, or people who didn't accept, and so therefore we just simply didn't do anything, and other people who perhaps started to talk, and then they said, well, they regretted it. I don't know how many rush hours, 200 hours of footage, and there were 100 hours of stories that we finally recorded. And then finally what we did was choose 8 stories who were the ones that we show on the screen in the film. And then, of course, there's some of the people that have been recorded, but as Jean says, these are people who are risking it. Their problem is not the camera, but to convince the judge at the same time. That's what most concerns them. So therefore, very quickly, there was only one camera. There wasn't a whole range of cameras. There was just one camera. And I think that the reason for which people accepted this was because we were not getting involved in the conversations. And plus, there were clients that came back, just like Anne said, and they continued to accept being recorded successively in their subsequent visits. From striptease, it all happens once in reality, and that's what we're doing. At a given moment, these are things that those people are living through at that given moment, and that's much more important for them. And they forget everything else. And we've never had any problem with these people, because if they are aware of the camera being there, they start acting. No, they forgot about us, and they didn't act. And that's a basic principle, because sometimes in my previous life, I saw people who in an interview were telling me monstrosities, and very seriously, and then when we realized that they were telling a lot of foolishness. So therefore, quite often, this was presented as a reality. So therefore, we wanted to do all the contrary, to show people who are living through a certain real event and to show it as a complicated reality to know whether they're going to go to jail or not. So that's how complicated and how real that was. So it's quite clear that when we realized that it was false, we didn't record, and plus we were very flexible, we're very soft, really. I think we were very kind and pleasant to them in the job we did. Could you talk about the profile of one of the clients, because the profile was very defined. You chose people of ethnic backgrounds and so on. I'm not too sure whether it talks about the failure of an integration model and so on and so forth, because there are constant elements that appear in all of the clients. I'm not too sure whether it's a high percentage of the cases that the judge receives in her office. I don't know. Or was this, you placed emphasis in this in the editing room when you made the film? Well, we will give the floor to Anne later, but those stories, those brief stories that we show in the film, we chose them independently of the origin of these people. We simply chose them without thinking about the origin of these people, if we wanted to be, without addressing to being politically correct or not. No, simply our choice was radical. And it was, there wasn't too much of a discussion between us in choosing one or the other. It seemed to be quite clear. And then, as regards to these clients, I think that I know Anne, I've known Anne for many years, that I've gone to her office, and I think it represents what we see there. She will tell us whether this is true or not. And in all of the different cases that were recorded, there were three Belgians. I'm not too sure whether it's a failure of integration, but there were three Belgians, original Belgians. Apart from their ethnic background, it's their social origin. These are poor people without any means. You can see that there aren't any white-collar criminals in the film. These are people who are relatively, who have no training, no education. They didn't even have the economic means to defend themselves in court. So And of course, sometimes they may have lawyers that aren't too efficient. But we haven't based ourselves upon any ethnic background, but I think what it does reflect is a social profile. Two things I want to say. We don't see white-collar criminals because the instruction is distributed between terrorists, judges, common law, and I'm a common law judge, so that I don't receive white-collar criminals apart from people, for example, who have embezzled. I know I have no, I receive don't receive criminals of this nature, of a difference, of another scale or another level in society, or who work with offshore companies. But we're talking about second and third generation and the failure of integration. No, there's no failure of integration. These people are our society. These are people from Brussels. These are the people that make up the society in Brussels, along with other people. No, there's no group of people who are poorly integrated and others who are well integrated. No, there's just simply a group of people who are different and who are so different, as if we were talking about the homosexual community. Amongst them, you will find people who are very different between each other. And it makes no sense to talk about a community in that case. So therefore, it makes the same sense or less sense to talk about a community which is derived through integration. We're all together, we live together in the same territory. And that is our society. Well, going back, well, I agree with what she says, but what surprised me more was the judge of the instruction judge more than the cases, sincerely. Could you have done the same film with any judge? No. We wouldn't have done any film. We've made this film, because we had the conditions to be able to make this film. Perhaps with another judge, we wouldn't have done it. Or we would have made a different film if we would have had another judge and treating different stories. And what's quite clear is that Anne, apart from having worked with her beforehand, well, we had a certain amount of trust in her. We wouldn't have had the same film if it had been with a judge, be it a man or woman, who had that we didn't know, or we didn't have any trust in us. We have shot this for a period of 3 years, and I think it was very important to, as well, to work with her over a period of time. And having the freedom to shoot, and over these 3 years, well, of course, she didn't ask too much of us, but it's quite clear that it required a lot of energy from her. Quite often I say that my work was not to make films, but just to be a judge of first instruction. That is to say, when someone's working and at the same time it's being shot on the camera, it's true. When I looked at myself in the mirror at home, I said, Anna, don't forget you're a judge of instruction, and that's what you make your living with. And I'm very sorry to talk about those material considerations, but that's how I make a living, and not from making films. But perhaps you also. Let's make a film with you. Well, I think everyone in their own branch is a character on their own. Quite often to me, I'm told this as well. I'm told, how do you find the subject matter for striptease? Well, I say, well, simply, we look at the different issues that emerge in society. There are 10 different judges, let's say, so we would have made 10 different films. We chose her, and that's it. You've said 3 years. And how was the editing of the film? Because there were scripts that were so good that we thought that it was all prepared. How did you select those moments that are real and that are very interesting? And they could have been written by a scriptwriter and thought of in a very conscientious way. It's very simple. I worked in the editing rooming, we viewed everything, we wrote everything down, we took notes, and with each sequence, and we were seeing what corresponded to what interested us. So therefore, I looked at all that material. There were points that were little dots of green, red, and blue, and then we reduced them, synthesized the images, and then we said red. The cage, the case is chronologically set up, and then we said there's a line. What do we need now? Well, okay, we need details and stories of the clients, and then we took what was most interesting, the most fun, and the most interesting. So therefore, prostitutes. From the beginning to the end, there were many prostitution cases, and so therefore, what we did was, obviously, we had images for 3.5 hours, and then with Bertrand and with Yves, I would show them 3.5 hours, and they were desperate. They were going, hey, no way, no, we're going to manage to do this. But it was quite clear to me. And then what we had to reduce it, cut it down so that we can manage to show it in 1.5 hours. And they said, instead of 1.50 hours, 1.40 hours, so therefore we had to cut off. But the rhythm was very important. The editing was very simple. It was very exciting. When you know, I don't always know what I want to do or make, but I know what I don't want to make, and I know that, I've always known that when that's quite clear in your mind, and you've got a story like this, well, that's formidable, it's great. So therefore, I'm retired, and the truth is I love to continue working. I like to work in life, and that's why I've always thought, I was almost on holidays. When the material is good material, well, the film is almost done in the shooting of the film, so therefore it's much easier to choose. When you've got a lot of very good material, it's much easier. There was a story, and talking with Jean, there was a case that we did for TV with the judge, and due to administrative reasons, in the editing room, we did one version, and then another editor came along, and without having seen the work of his colleague beforehand, he made his own film, what she wanted to make, and the both films were practically identical. They worked in the same way. They look at the recording and the footage, and then it's, from the moment we shoot the film, there's no mystery. When it's good material, there's no big mystery. It's simple. They recorded, I saw everything in the evenings, and we saw from the different notes I took down, I knew exactly what we were going to keep and what we were going to throw out, and then I worked with experts in the editor to confirm my vision, because at the end of the film, I realized that my feeling at the beginning was okay, it was good, but for me, the editing is very simple. When the material is good material, that's very simple to do. And there's just only one take, there's only one single take, one camera. This isn't like fiction, not at all. There's one single take. I can't say I'm going to use take 80 because the actress has done this, that, or the other. No, not at all. There's only one take, and that's it. And then I choose. Okay, this is the end of the press conference. I want to thank the whole crew and good luck with the film when it's premiered and in other festivals as well. Thank you.